What's going on, everyone? It is a glorious day to be talking about TV as per usual. And guess what? We've got a fabulous podcast, which is your favorite. Who are we, Kevin?
We are TV Channeling. And I could not be more psyched about this episode, Taji, because we're not reviewing one. We're reviewing two of the biggest shows of fall 2021. And I could not be more excited. I want to thank NBC for reaching out to us to give us screeners of these shows before they come out so we can let our audience know what we think of them and if they should add these to their DVR watch list.
Yes. Thank you, NBC.
All right, Taji. So the first we're going to talk about is the very highly anticipated Ordinary Joe. So who is in it?
Joe. Obviously, a show called Ordinary Joe. Joe is in it. James Woke plays Joe Kimbrough. Elizabeth Leo plays Jenny Banks. Natalie Martinez plays Amy. Charlie Barnett plays Eric Payne. Adam Rodriguez plays Bobby Diaz. And we have a whole host of other people, but those are the main four that we are five rather that we see in the pilot episode. So tell us a little bit about it.
All right. I do want to mention that Ordinary Joe is going to be on NBC on Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, and it starts airing on September 20th. The episodes will then be available to screen on NBC.com and the NBC app, as well as Hulu the following day they premiere on NBC. So the synopsis, the show centers on Joe Kimbrough as he makes a pivotal life-changing decision at his college graduation and follows him on three parallel timelines as a police officer, a music star, and as a nurse. All right, Taji, what did you think of the pilot of NBC's Ordinary Joe?
Now, if you remember, we also, in our previous episode, well, the previous episode, we reviewed the trailer and said whether or not we would watch it. And I was interested to see how they were going to handle it, whether they were going to let each episode be a standalone episode of the various different timelines, depending on what choice he made, or whether they were going to intersperse it. And what they did in this episode is they interspersed it. What I don't know is if this is going to continue to be the case or if they're going to just focus on one side of Joe or one Joe at a time. So that's what I'm waiting to see whether or not they do. I think for the most part, they handled interspersing the different possible scenarios of the life of Joe very well. It can get very convoluted and very messy when you start to twist these plots and add in and out. Obviously, I saw some places that it could have been tighter, where the editing could have been tighter to kind of indicate, okay, we really don't know which Joe this is. I think it could have, but I think they did well considering that they had to put these three different possible stories in this one episode. So that's why I say I don't know if they're going to continue that way or if they're just going to focus on one Joe at a time. What did you think?
Okay, what they did was what I was predicting when we talked about this.
You did.
Show in the trailer. Watching the trailer in our fall preview special part one. I predicted that they would have to color code the Joes, and they absolutely did. And the very first scene after we flash forward 10 years, I should say, let me start with it from the beginning. So the trailer opens up with Joe at his college graduation and he bumps into a girl and they instantly have chemistry. He's late for his graduation. So is she. They start chatting. And then we cut to after the graduation and he's talking with his best friend. And his best friend is asking him if he is going to go to the beach because he's supposed to go meet his best friend and who's a woman who we went to college with. They're supposed to, she asked him to come meet her at the beach because she wants to talk with him. And then there is this new girl that he just bumped into. Is he going to go and actually ask her out? Because he's, as he's talking to his friend, he sees her talking to her family. And then there's Joe's family. There is his surviving mother. His father is deceased because he was a police officer on 9/11. And he was killed in the bombing of the Twin Towers, running in to try and rescue people. And his uncle is also a police officer, and he wants him to follow in his footsteps. So the question is, right after graduation, is he going to go home and have dinner with his family and talk with his uncle that wants him to go to the police academy? Is he going to go meet his friend at the beach, his college friend whom he occasionally hooks up with? Or is he going to talk to this new girl that he had instant chemistry with? So we see the results of those three different choices. In one reality, he goes home to dinner and he blows off his friend and doesn't go to the beach. And he never has the courage to ask that girl that he just met out. And we see that reality. And in that reality, he becomes a police officer. We see the reality of him going to the beach to talk with his friend. And what she reveals to him is that she's pregnant with their child, and he becomes a nurse. He dreams of being a musician, and he puts that dream to rest to make money because they have a disabled child. She dreamed of becoming an attorney. She was going to go to law school, but because of that, she's a paralegal when they're raising their special needs kid, and we see that version of his life. Then we see the version of his life that where he asked that woman out that he met at his graduation, and in that reality, he is a rock star. And he's a lot like his idol, Billy Joel. And so we see the different realities. What's interesting visually about it is the rock star reality is tinted slightly red. Mm-hmm. There are a lot. What's so genius to me about the set design, and I need to see an interview with the set designer. They better win a technical Emmy next year, because what they did was all of the sets, even though it's not like tinted, like looking through like half of an old school 3D glasses, but what it is it has a slight tinge of red. Also, all these different things in the milieu, like all kinds, like a vase or flowers, there'll be like always something visually in your field of vision there's something red to indicate that you're in the rock star reality. Then when he's a police officer, there's blue. When he goes on a date with this one girl, she's wearing a blue dress. There's always some blue in your field of vision. And when he's a nurse, there's always this kind of scrubs green. There's a tint of green everywhere. I thought visually they did a marvelous job of differentiating. The nurse Joe has glasses. The rock star Joe has stubble. And the police officer Joe is more clean cut. And so visually, it's easier if you look at those key things to recognize the different Joes.
Yeah. There's no mistaking who each Joe is. And excellent point about, so what you're talking about is actually called a motif, something that occurs over and over again within a sequence, or whether it's a movie or a television show. So you've got the red, you've got that blue, and you've got the green. And those all act as motifs, which are, you know, cinematic tools, which is brilliant to use to differentiate the Joes. I agree.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing. And also what's really interesting to me is how they have woven this. And all I can say is this show is the spiritual successor, if you ask me, to This Is Us. And why I'm saying that is I thought that when we saw the three different distinct choices, the paths that his life takes in these three different scenarios, that there wouldn't be crossover. But what is so genius is they actually are showing us the exact same day and the exact same times in the different parallel lives. So we see a hailstorm happening on the night of a big stadium concert for Rockstar Joe. Then we see that exact same night and the exact same time, a clock showing that exact same time for the nurse version of Joe, because he's working at night to make more money than he would make during the day and get better health care for his disabled son. And there's problems that's caused problems in his marriage to his best friend. They've been having a trial separation for 6 months, where they switch off staying in the house. And so their child has consistency. He stays in the house and they switch back and forth. And at the end of the 6 months, Joe was surprised that his wife has presented him with divorce papers that she drew up herself, because she just thinks that there's no saving their marriage. But he's determined to try and salvage their marriage. And he has 40 days to respond to the papers that she gave him. And he's using that timeline to try and win her back. Mm-hmm. So we see that reality. And then we see the an interesting how they kind of overflow the differences in the world. We see in the reality where Joe is a police officer, there is a senator that's having some kind of political rally, and there is an attempted assassination, and Cop Joe saves him. But then we see the reality where Joe's the nurse, where that politician was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was neat how they kind of crossed over. So like, if Joe hadn't been there in that reality, then this guy gets shot. And then another thing that's interesting is in one of the realities where Joe is a nurse, his best friend actually asked out the woman who Joe met at graduation, and that is his wife in that reality. And then in the reality where Joe is the rock star, he's married to the woman that he met at the graduation. And his friend, it seems to have changed. It'll be interesting to see why, but his friend's career path has also changed. He is a single father. He seems to work in events, promotions, or something like that. So where in another reality, he has like a pizza place. So it's going to be interesting to see how everybody around them, like in the rock star reality, Joe's uncle works security for him, is in charge of his security. And in the other reality, where he's a police officer, his uncle is one of the higher ups in the police department. So everybody's life is kind of mixed up and changed. I won't give it away, but there's a shocking reveal, at least shocking to me anyway, for the reality where Joe is a police officer, where someone else from his past, they cross paths, and it's just like, wow, who is he going to end up with in these different realities? And also what I love about it is the idea that they're already kind of showing us, there are certain kinds of people that think about the road less traveled, think about like, well, what would have happened if I had done this versus doing that? And what's neat about what they're doing, to me anyway, is in one reality where he chooses his friend, there seems to be some regret, and he's still kind of thinking about that woman that he met at graduation that he never talked to or never went out with. But then in the other reality where he is, where he's a police officer, he also has some regret about both the women that he didn't move forward with. So it's just really interesting to see how it's all playing out and how they're trying to weave this together. This was a monumental effort as far as directing goes to try and set up what the show's look is going to be, how the stories are going to play out.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a reality. I don't know if you meant this, but the reality where he's a rock star was where I saw the shocking revelation.
Which revelation are you talking about then? If we want to share, because that's not the revelation that I'm thinking of. But what revelation are you talking about?
Oh, I guess we have to tell the revelations then.
Yes, so, let's tell some.
So when he is the rock star, right? He ends up meeting the best friend, right? 10
yes.
years later, and she had, and she actually is. I don't know. Do I want to give this away? Because that's the big, okay, why not? So he's the rock star. And remember at this point, Amy, who is the person, he gets married to her, in this reality.
Yes.
So he's the rock star and gets married to Amy. But then the best friend comes. I forgot where they met. I don't know if it was the, it was probably the Syracuse, because they went to Syracuse University and it was the reunion, right? And yes. So she comes and she is a DA at that point. So she's a DA. She comes in and she was like, there's something I have to, you know, I wanted to tell you. I was going to tell you when you showed up at the, when you came to the cab, but you didn't show up.
I gotta say something. You're having mixed up a little bit, so I'm kind of just correct this part. The version of his best friend when he's a rock star, she actually lived her dream and went to law school, and she's yes. now made partner. So that she is a district attorney in the reality where he is a police officer. That in that reality, she's a district attorney. But in the reality where he is a rock star, she is a corporate lawyer.
Wait a minute, but is he not married to?
Yes, he's married. Yes, he's married to Amy, and so Amy.
So he's married to Amy as the rock star. That's the only yes. place they're married, right? So yes. this happened. Oh, that's right. That's right. So they weren't married yet. They weren't married. He just met up with her at the reunion. So you're right. He is the what's name? They were not married. Yes.
Yeah, so basically what to try and make it more sense for the audience, what happens is we learn the revelation in the reality where he's a rock star. He goes to his 10-year college reunion and he meets his former best friend, who we learn through his other friend that she just kind of ghosted them after college. They never heard from her. What they didn't know was she actually was pregnant. And even though they were supposed to be casual and seeing other people, she was not casual. She was only seeing him. It was his baby. She planned to tell him the night of their graduation that she was pregnant, but he never showed up at the beach. And when he didn't show up there, she decided to have the baby, but put it up for adoption in that reality. So in the rock star reality, she put the baby up for adoption, went to law school, and now she's a hotshot corporate attorney who just made partner. In the reality where he's a police officer, what was shocking about that is he has not been in contact with either of the women that right. he was that he had feelings for after graduation. He went straight into police work. And he ends up bumping into, because of the attempt at assassination, he ends up finding out that the senator's assistant is Amy. And mm-hmm. so he tries to reconnect with her, and he asked her when he's after the press conference that he has to go to, he asks her if she's willing to go to their reunion with him. And so she does. While they're at the reunion and they're dancing and hitting it off, he sees out of the corner of his eye his former friend, whose name I can't remember. And then
I think her name is Beth, but
I can't remember what her name is. But anyway, the point is that it's in my notes somewhere. But anyway, the point is they're having their reunion at a planetarium.
Jenny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're having their reunion at a planetarium. And so Jenny's son loves space. And he's disabled in both realities. So anyway, it turns out that she's shocked to see him because he wasn't listed in the RSVPs.
Right.
And so she's shocked, and you can see her visually stunned on the look on her face. And then when the son comes rolling out on his wheelchair, of course, he doesn't know that's his son. He's just like, she goes, this is my son. And so she's looking all stunned at him. And he's like, oh, it's good seeing you. Maybe we'll touch base through email or whatever. And he leaves with Amy. And so she's looking stunned. And so in the rock star reality, she tells him about the fact that she had this baby, but she put it up for adoption. Also, rock star Joe is upset because even though he and Amy are happy as a couple, the problem is they haven't been able, she's conceived, she's gotten pregnant a few times and had multiple miscarriages. At the beginning of the pilot, she's pregnant with twins. She loses them, but then she's given the opportunity to run for office for like New York office or something like that. And he's upset about this because this means postponing trying to have kids. And so she asked him, what if we can't have children. Is it going to be okay with just us? And he doesn't answer her. And that non-answer is an answer to her. And she doesn't go to their reunion. He ends up going by himself because he promised his friend that he would perform at the reunion. And that's where he bumps into his old friend, who reveals to him that she, in fact, had a child that was his, and that child she put up for adoption. And so since he can't have kids, he is determined to find this child. He wants to meet his son because all he knows is that he has a son out there, and he wants to find him.
So let me go back now that we've kind of clarified muddily that whether or not, hopefully you guys were able to pick up what was going on. So here's the thing that kind of got me with that. You know, it's the whole thing with, well, first of all, I don't know what parents would be okay when their child is pregnant with, oh, well, I'm just not going to tell. You know good and damn well somebody's mother or father would have gotten on the phone and said, look now, my daughter is, you know, that would have happened. They're adults, but they're not really, really adults. They're like, yeah, no.
They're 21.
That's not adult. They're just graduating. Please. No.
I was surprised in the rock star reality that she didn't have an abortion. When he's asking her how she's been, what she's been up to, and that she's made partner at 31, she's partner of a huge law firm. I thought, okay, so she, in that reality, she chose to have an abortion when he didn't show up. But then she tells him she had a baby and put it up for adoption. And so that kind of blew my mind. And I thought, that's a lot to reveal to somebody you haven't seen in 10 years and at your college reunion.
Okay, and that's where the disconnect for me happened. Not just that, but the fact that all this time, I just don't see it as realistic that she would have had a child and then given it up for adoption, and you waited for him to come. And the thing is, like, there was a lack of communication there. You were dating casually, and you know you said that, but I really wasn't. So when this happened, what? To me, that just doesn't make any good sense. Maybe there are some people that would do that, but it doesn't seem like realistic or reality. That's number one. But number two, the thing that really kind of gave me pause is when Amy discovers in the rock star reality that she's pregnant. And, you know, obviously this is after having some early ended pregnancies. We don't like to say miscarriages anymore, but early ended pregnancies. That she said, I thought maybe I was broken. And I know there are some women that feel that way, but without going into the whole anatomy or whatever, often these happen, pregnancies terminate early when there's something amiss with the baby. And so it will terminate early. Now, that doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. So, you know, to make it it's almost like making it the woman's fault. And that's what I'm like, it's 2021. Can we stop with that narrative? That's the thing that got me.
Okay, but I feel like that's what the character thinks. It doesn't mean it make it true. That's what the character feels.
I understand that's what the character feels, but that's what the character always feels in these things, and we need to stop that. So this could have been, and I understand that's the character, but it's just like what we were talking about when we talked about the trailer and the colorism thing. It's the same thing. So this could be what the character is thinking, but do you need to continue to perpetuate that? No, you don't.
Well, the story may go other places. This was the pilot. So maybe we'll see the character, they may figure out that Joe may have an issue with, you know, be a part of the reason why they're having difficulty with conceiving, because of the fact that, look at what happened. Joe had another child that was special needs. So it could be something going on with him, his anatomy, not just hers or something. So I don't think we've heard the last of that. That's an ongoing issue. But I do feel that one thing that did ring
true.
Hold on.
Let me just finish this up. I know you're excited, but let me just finish this up.
Sure.
So I can see, yes, we have not heard the last of it, but I don't know that we need to, you know, we don't know what the antecedent is for all of these things. And we can always say, oh, well, it's only the beginning. Oh, well, it's only that. It's always only the beginning. It's always only going somewhere. And if we continue to perpetuate this narrative of that something is wrong with me, even if that's what she's feeling, I think, and it is a good storyline, but we don't have to keep hearing that storyline because that's what society constantly tells women. So if we need to see, continue, we don't need to continue to see that. I think they probably could have done something else with it. And yeah, you're right. We don't know where it's going, but to open up with it, you risk the fact that people may not watch the rest of the show or the episodes and they're stuck with, this is what I think it's women's fault. So I'm just saying we have to start to be more thoughtful in that light.
Well, the reason why I think that we don't know where it's going, because honestly, if I were writing this, the way it's played in the trailer, what I think would happen is we would look at them both being examined by doctors and finding out that it isn't something about her, it's something about him. And all of the pressure that she was feeling and all the upset at herself that she was turning inward will be pointed towards him because he's the one pressuring her. What she wants to do is run for office. He's pressuring her not to run for office because of the fact that he wants a child. I think that that could change the dynamic completely in the relationship if she finds out that it's actually, you know, something going on with his sperm or something that's causing these early ended pregnancies or something. So there's other places for it to go. But I hear what you're saying. Normally that's when there's somebody who can't have children in a TV show or in a movie, that normally the woman does blame herself. It wasn't like he's blaming her, but she's blaming herself for that.
Right.
But
right.
One thing I will say that did feel real and made sense was the fact that Amy was dating him casually as far as he knew. But she knew she was in love with him. Sometimes people do that. It never works well. When you have deep feelings for somebody and you're kind of like, we're friends and we're friends who just have sex sometimes, but you know, you're in love with them. It's that, yeah, that always doesn't. Yeah. That is, you're asking for trouble. And so Amy was clearly in love with what's her name? Jenny. Jenny was clearly in love with him when they were quote unquote hooking up, doing air quotes. You can't see. So that's why she took it so hard when he didn't show up at the beach and she decided to just not say anything to him.
Because then bloody say something.
Oh, I agree. But we know in reality, people do stupid stuff when it comes to these kinds of things in real life where people don't tell people things. I won't go into an in-depth, but I was at a birthday party where some stuff came out, like in a TV show, shocking revelations, something from the past. And I'm like, wait, so this is, none of you people knew this for like 20 years? I mean, it was like, what? So no, people will conceal stuff and not tell stuff. And when you ask, the reasons do not make sense, what their fears were, or I don't want somebody to feel obligated. I want them to want me for me, not because I tricked them into getting married or tricked them into being attached to me in some way. Who knows what was going on in her head? And maybe in future episodes, it'll play out more and we'll see more of the friends or something like that, or flashbacks. I don't know if they're going to play around with flashbacks as well, or if it's going to stay in the time that it's supposed to be, like 2021. So we'll just see all the realities in 2021 moving forward, or if we'll also have flashbacks to some of these other pivotal decisions that were happening unbeknownst to Joe.
I can accept that.
All right. So since we've given away so much,
it's time. I was trying not to.
I know. But you know what? I still feel like it's still so much we didn't even get to.
That's true.
But I feel like we had to give some of this away to give you an idea of like how all the potential stories. Honestly, I was surprised at how each of these realities were so compelling. They would have worked on a show by themselves. Mm-hmm, I would have watched a show about Cop Joe. I would have watched a show about Nurse Joe, and I would have watched the show about Rockstar Joe. One last thing before I ask you for your final verdict.
Okay.
Rockstar Joe's house.
That was something I was going to ask you. What did you think of Joe and Rockstar Joe and Amy's house?
I needed a bib. There was so much house drool. I love so much. I can't put sentence words or say.
Do you understand the hugity? That's not a word, but I've made it one. Do you understand the hugity of this? Okay, they live in New York City.
Oh, that is rock star money. That is
exactly that, something like that. If you were to live in and that's clearly a converted factory, some sort of converted loft space, but we're talking about multiple millions there.
Gorgeous. Everything. Then if that wasn't enough, at one point there's a montage where we're seeing all three of their lives at the same time, at a moment in time, and we see Joe in his, like, I guess garage area, where we're seeing all of his classic sports cars all around him. So yes, Rockstar Joe is living. And also we get a glimpse of both Nurse Joe and Police Officer Joe both kind of long for music careers, because Nurse Joe, his son is learning how to play piano, and his mother, they call him, they FaceTime him, and they ask him to sing some of Piano Man, and he sings, and just kind of, you can see him kind of heartbroken about that, something about little look in his eye looks kind of far away and sad as he's singing with his son via FaceTime. And then we cut to Police Officer Joe hanging out with his friends at a bar, and they're all like, you know, get on that piano, and he ends up playing Piano Man for them at the bar. So in every reality, it's just like, there's just, when you're an artist, there's always kind of like, artists gotta art. So it was just kind of neat the way they played that. So before we talk about it anymore, because I could talk about it literally for all day, so because there's so much to talk about. So Tachi, let's get to it. So when it comes to NBC's Regular Joe, no, sorry, Ordinary Joe. When it comes to NBC's Ordinary Joe, are you going to keep watching, or are you going to change the channel?
I'm definitely going to keep watching, despite the fact that there are some things that I'm like, you're right, there are stupid people, but you know how I am with stupidity and characters. So despite the fact of that, and despite the fact that I think they could have named it something beyond Ordinary Joe, I understand where it came from, because it was during one of the conversations of Rockstar Joe, when they were at that restaurant and he said Ordinary Joe. But it took too long to get to that point. And to me, there was nothing really, quote, ordinary about it. So it's kind of a misnomer. I would have named it something else. But despite that, I definitely, what it is compelling. The storyline, they wove all the Joes together very nicely. I don't feel like I was missing anything or confused or like, now why am I watching this? So I definitely will watch. Now, as for a season two, I would like to say yes, but it depends on how well they execute, the rest of the season is executed and received. It can get to be very muddy. And like you said, I agree. I would watch a show about each one of these Joes. Is it going to be problematic if they break it up and focus on each one of these Joes? Is the audience going to be receptive to it? Are they going to be able to do that? So it's really going to be dependent on how well they either continue to weave the stories together, or separate the stories with each Joe having a very distinct, unique identity if they choose to separate the Joes, the Joe episodes. So I think it depends. I'm compelled. I definitely want to watch, but I think it depends on a season two. What about you, Kevin, when it comes to Ordinary Joe? Will you watch it? And what about a season two?
All right. So, yes, this kind of thing is catnip to me. I could not get over the art direction. I could not get over how at one point when Rockstar Joe's wife finds out that she's had a early pregnancy and ending, early ended pregnancy. Anyway, she finds out they're in the hallway of the hospital and she sits on this bench and you can see like the red fire extinguisher and just like everything is so strategically placed to let you know which reality you're looking at. I just was like in awe of it. What I am concerned about though for the show's prospects are because it's an NBC show on regular network, my guess is this show is going to be around for 20, 22 episodes a year. So I'm concerned about the fact that the kind of schedule that network shows have, that they'll be able to keep up the production values, which to me were exquisite this show. And the, like I said before, the art direction of each of the Joes and how meticulous it was to like place these different objects. So there's always something on screen that's letting you know what reality you're in. I thought that was so brilliant. But week in, week out, and that grind, will they be able to maintain that level? If this were an HBO Max show or Apple TV Plus, a show that has like 8 to 10 episodes a year, then yes, they could easily keep this looking as good as it did in the pilot. That's my only real concern about it. But I found it insanely compelling. And for someone like me who loves to think about like, well, what if we hadn't met? Or what if I met you when we went to this one particular restaurant, but I wasn't supposed to go to that restaurant. Or you know how you heard about, we're recording this near the anniversary of 9/11, and we all heard these stories of people that were supposed to be on the planes. I remember hearing a story of a person, their alarm clock just didn't go off. They set it and it just broke when they woke up in the morning, like at 10 o'clock in the morning, their clock was just off. It had just broke in the middle of the night. If their clock hadn't broken, they would have been killed. And so it's always kind of, I don't know if you're the kind of person that does that, think about like, what if I hadn't met this person, or if I hadn't decided to go to that school or take that job, your whole life could be completely different based on if you turn one corner, turn another corner. So a show about that, and giving us not one, but three different realities is pretty darn interesting. And so far, all three realities look interesting and compelling too. I'm definitely going to watch it, and I'm hoping for a second season, but this is a high concept show. And I wish it were following. I'm not sure if it's following, but I don't think it's following This Is Us. This Is Us this is the final season of This Is Us. So if it's following This Is Us, then I have even higher hopes for it getting a second season. But if it doesn't follow This Is Us and it just follows like The Voice or something, then it's a lot dicier.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because it is high concept, but it's a great concept. So, you know what I also like? I liked how we mixed up Will You Watch It with this.
I know. We're doing all kinds of things. We're doing it all. Yeah. All right. So, let's go on to our next show that I think is even more anticipated. Definitely has a bigger budget. So, let's talk about La Brea.
All right. So, the characters in La Brea are... That's not how you all say it, La Brea. Natalie Zea as Claire Harris, Ian Macken as Gavin Harris, Karina Logue as Mary Beth Hill, Zyra Gorecki as Izzy Harris, Jack Martin as Josh Harris, Angel Parker, Catherine Dent as Jessica Harris, Veronica St. Clair as Riley Glass. We've also got Jag Ball, Chike Okonkwo, John Seda, Lily Santiago, and a bunch of others. Because like I said, this is all of Los Angeles that's in this cast.
All right. So before I tell you a little bit about the show, I have to say that La Brea will air on NBC Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, starting on September 28th. The episodes will then be available for viewing on NBC.com, as well as the NBC app, and they will be available on Hulu the day after they air on NBC. So let me give you the synopsis. A massive sinkhole that opens in Los Angeles splits the Harris family in two, with Eve and her son sent to a mysterious primeval world. Gavin, her husband discovers that the visions that have plagued him for years might hold the key to bringing them home. All right, Tachi, what did you think of the pilot for NBC's La Brea?
Well, they just got right to the sinkhole, didn't they? There was no finessing, no massage. They just got right to it.
Well, the pilot gets to it. I was shocked at how quickly. Normally with this kind of thing, they make you get to know the family or the people in their life before they're thrown into some fantastical situation. Literally, I'd say 5 minutes into the pilot, it all starts going like at rocket speed.
And this is, I think, part of the issue that I have, that I don't even know whether I like these characters, and you're already throwing me into a world with them where something has gone wrong. I don't know them. I don't feel like I know them. So there's some, you know, banter at the beginning when they're in the car waiting for in traffic, in fantastic Los Angeles traffic, as you well know. And there are a couple things going on. The mother is Claire Harris is
Eve.
Is it Claire or Eve?
Eve is the name of the name of the actress, but the character's name is Eve. And she's driving her two kids. They're both like high school age kids. Mm-hmm. She's driving them to school to spend more time with them, because they're like, we don't need you to drive us to school. You're helicopter mom. And so she says, no, this is a way for me to spend time with you guys. And also they're new to LA. They're living in downtown LA now. They were where were they from? I think Burbank or someplace they lived before.
Yeah.
Before the mother and father have split because he has a drinking problem. We learned through the course of the first episode that he was a pilot in the Navy. He had a crash. And after that crash, he started having these weird visions. And he's been drinking to try and stop these weird visions. He keeps seeing this desert, this area, and over again, the same area. And he keeps getting flashes of it. And he doesn't know why. And he's no longer able to fly. And he's been out of work. And so that kind of tore their family apart. And so she started a new life in L.A. proper, downtown L.A. And when this giant earthquake sinkhole thing happens near the La Brea tar pits, and just a several square block radius literally falls into the earth, a couple of skyscrapers fall into the earth, and a lot of people fall into this giant sinkhole. I gotta say, the effects that they did with the sinkhole, that whole sequence, amazing. And I was pretty gripped pretty early, because the daughter is disabled. She only has one leg. We learn later in the pilot why she only has one leg. There was an accident. The mother was working late, and she was supposed to pick her daughter up, so she sent someone else to pick her up, and they were in a car accident, and that's how the daughter lost the leg, which explains why the mother's overly protective and why she wants to drive her kids to school every single day. And so the mother tries heroically to drive them backwards to escape the sinkhole, and then they crash into another car. They get out, and she goes, "We have to stay together." And as they're running away from the sinkhole,
of course, somebody falls.
The son sees a little girl that's fallen. He goes to help this little girl, and then he gets swallowed up by the sinkhole. The mother runs to try and save him, and she falls into the sinkhole. The daughter grabs her mother's arm before she can fall, and the mother's like, "You've got to save yourself." And she pries her daughter's hand off of hers and falls. That scene was that was so well acted. And that's what a parent who loves you would do. You can't save me. You've got to try and make it yourself. Get out of here. And she thinks she's going to fall to her death. And to save her daughter, she's willing to die to make sure she's okay. Was very, very moving. But of course, she's not dead. She comes to so anyway, she wakes up in some kind of like out of in the middle of nowhere, in some like meadow clearing and she doesn't know where the hell she is. And she starts immediately calling for her son. And then she's wandering around calling for him and she sees one man and she says something and he turns around, he points a gun at her. And then she tells him to calm down. And he says, I'm sorry, do you know where are we? And of course she doesn't know. And then she sees smoke in the distance and she starts running towards the smoke. And that's where the bulk of the people that fell in the sinkhole are all in this general area, as well as parts of these buildings that have fallen in the sinkhole as well. And she finds her son there and they're all trying to figure out where the hell they are and what's going on.
Let me interrupt for a moment. I think they used all of the money for this on the sinkhole special effects. I did not like the way that whole thing, it just looked too placed. This car is here. This car, it looked when, you know, there was a wide shot of the entire scene and you see these cars and it just looks like it was placed there. It doesn't look realistic. Like actually if something fell from another world and land, it looks like it just landed. Now, I don't know if it's just pulled into that universe and it's exactly as it was, but it just did not look realistic to me.
Now, one thing I will say is we see like two skyscrapers fall into it, but we don't see all the skyscrapers in the other world. We see part of like, I think one of our concert halls. We see part of it there, but we don't see the other skyscrapers. So I don't know if they fell to another part because some stuff is spread out. She fell very far from where the other stuff was. The guy who pointed the gun at her, we learned later, is a psychiatrist. He fell somewhere else. So I don't know how spread out things are. They start looking for supplies and stuff like that. So ultimately, will they come upon one of the skyscrapers and look there for even more supplies and more food and stuff like that? Because they were going through a bunch of the cars that fell down looking for things. And then they find in one trunk, they find a bunch of heroin. An ambulance fell down into the hole. So they have to at one point go venturing off to go look for the ambulance to get medical supplies. Now, luckily, some might just say because this was written, in the sinkhole, there is a former Navy SEAL who happens to be a surgeon now, who to me is set up perfectly to be Eve's love interest. And he seems to have a teenage daughter or a super young sister who also is a perfect age to be Eve's son's love interest as well. So if I fall into a primeval world, hopefully I'll meet my love interest will be, oh, okay, yeah. This is
and hopefully out. You'll then also have water that's perfectly placed in a bag of water. You'll also have protein bars. And to me, it feels like it would be a little more helter-skelter than the way it was.
Well, one thing I will say is when we go back to the surface world, we see that the separated husband gets a call from his daughter saying what happened. And he immediately he was actually applying for a job with the Air Force to see in El Segundo to be closer to his family since his wife relocated the kids to downtown L.A. And he immediately gets down to L.A., which I don't understand. First of all, I love how when they show the traffic in La Brea, it was literally at a standstill where just like they were just like cars were just parked on the street. I'm like, all right, so there's that. Which I don't believe happens, but fine, for the sake of the show, it does. And then he drives all the way from El Segundo to La Brea, and he's there like in 2 minutes. I'm like, I don't know. Did he teleport there? How did he get there? So did he use the Back to the Future car? But anyway, the point is he manages to get there, and he hugs his daughter. But the moment he hugs her, he starts having these visions again. He had a vision earlier that day of that same place, but this time when he has a vision of that same meadow, he sees a La Brea street sign like laying on the ground there. And then he gets flashes of his wife and his daughter. And so whatever he's been going on with his mind is connected in some way to what's happening. Then as he's talking to his daughter, all of a sudden, a bunch of giant birds come flying out of the sinkhole. And so they're like prehistoric looking birds. And we later find out they recover one of the dead birds. And it is a long ago extinct bird. So basically like a dodo or something. Like, why the hell is this bird flying out of here, flying out of this sinkhole?
Well, that would probably be a pterodactyl.
Something. Oh, it wasn't a pterodactyl. It was a bird. It wasn't like, it was
like a lizard bird. Dodos didn't fly.
Well, anyway, I meant like a dodo as in something that we all know existed. That's extinct. So something like that. That is like, no, this is an extinct bird, extinct for like thousands of years. So, so there's that discovery. Then we overhear some military officials talking, and they're saying how they sent a drone in to the sinkhole, and the drone sees this weird kind of lights that look almost like the aurora borealis.
Yes.
And but they said this is similar to what we saw in the Mojave Desert. And so of course they're not telling the public this, and so they send the drone further into the light, and all of a sudden they lose contact with the drone. Then we see the father get a flash, and he sees the drone on the ground. Mm-hmm. And he can see the numbers on it. And so he's trying to tell them this to convince them that he's not crazy. And, one thing I will say, we also see some wolves in the primeval world. They're these giant CGI wolves. I will say all the money they spent on the sinkhole part.
Didn't I tell you?
They were not able to spend on the wolves or the birds. The birds looked to me not great, and neither did the wolves.
They spent too much money on the sinkhole. So they said, we only have this amount of money. Let's make one thing look great.
We'll make that look great, and then we'll spend $5 on the rest of the episode. So I was shocked at how shabby the almost pterodactyl and the wolves looked. And then later in the episode we see a saber-toothed tiger, because I will reveal this, the mother Eve, her son is attacked by one of these CGI wolves, and so they go looking for the smoking hot ex-Navy SEAL guy, and her go looking for the ambulance that fell into the sinkhole, and to see if they can find medical supplies to save him. And while they're doing this, she sees like a part of a bus kind of a shelter, lean, whatever the hell they call that, the shelter that you sit under when you're on a bus stop.
Right.
That, and it has like the Hollywood sign, like in the hills labeled, and she's looking and she's like, is it possible we're still in Los Angeles? Because it's nothing there, but it's just like the topography. She's starting to notice that, like, wait a minute, those are the Hollywood Hills.
Right.
And she says that, and then they hear some kind of growling, they turn around, and a saber-toothed tiger is standing behind them.
A poorly CGI'd.
Yes, a very badly CGI'd saber-toothed tiger is behind them. And so... yeah, so this show has all kind. It has Lost vibes.
It's like Jurassic Park meets Lost meets Jumanji meets.
I have to admit, again, I keep using the term catnip, but somebody, it's like, if nothing else, NBC has me lured in on with these things. The mystery of what this is, why the husband has been having these visions for 2 years. Causing him to develop a drinking problem, and now there being some kind of tie. So another revelation is the husband, he is convinced that what he's seeing means something, and he got a flash of one of the things he kept seeing in these flashes is this giant rock, and it has some kind of like engraving or markings or something on it, and he thinks it's something that he saw in his past. And so he starts looking through all these pictures, and he finds a picture of him and his wife in the Mojave Desert, and that rock is in the background. And he becomes convinced, and he drives out to the desert and starts digging around that rock. And so what he doesn't know is that his wife was wearing her wedding ring on a necklace around her neck. And in the course of falling into this other dimension or wherever the hell she is, she loses her necklace with her wedding ring on it. But when her husband is here on the surface of Los Angeles in LA and digging in the Mojave Desert, he's digging around the rock. His daughter and his sister show up, and they're like, this is crazy. Why are you digging in the middle of the night? And he says to his daughter, was your mom wearing her wedding ring on a necklace? And she goes, what does that have to do with anything? They're dead. And he said, why is her ring here? And he finds her ring underneath all this earth next to this rock, the one that she dropped in the primeval Los Angeles. So what the hell is happening? Is that ring now thousands of years old? What the hell is going on? It is so it's one of those kinds of puzzle shows.
Go ahead. They also did not spend any money on that. Did you see how cheap that ring looked? They spent all the damn money on that sinkhole effect. They blew their money for their budget for the entire show. I'm like, you couldn't even get that ring. Looks like it was from Dollar Tree somewhere.
Oh, no offense. Ouch.
I love Dollar Tree. But if you're trying to make, I'm like, really? This is the best you could do? It looked so cheap.
Well, first of all, maybe everybody can't afford a super nice engagement or wedding ring, Tachi. Maybe they were young marrieds. They didn't have a lot of money. And it's their love don't cost a thing.
Apparently, if that was the ring.
All right. So anyway, let's cut to it because there's so much and we've already given away a lot. So, all right, Tachi, when it comes to NBC's La Brea, are you going to keep watching or are you going to change the channel?
You know, I don't know. It's interesting. I think I'm interested in certain parts of it, but there are some things that are just like, this just doesn't make any sense, you know, effects wise or whatever. I wish... What I would like to have seen, I would have liked to see this on a network where they had a bigger budget.
Oh my God. If this had been on Apple TV Plus, we talked about the trailer in our last episode of Foundation and how spectacular looking that was, the money that they put into that. Can you imagine if they had that kind of budget for this show, what it would have looked like? Because this is giving me like Lost slash Land of the Lost vibes.
And Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost, of the original Sid and Marty Krofft show, they made that for like a dollar. And so some of it does look cheap, but the initial effect was so spectacular. I agree with you. They should have spent a little less money on that and a little bit more money on some of the creatures that they've encountered in the pilot. And this is the pilot. So I'm concerned, like, what are they going to look like in episode 2, 3, 4, and 5? Is it going to basically be like a stick figure in the next episode? I'm like, what? Are they going to be like an animal made out of Play-Doh? Or are they going to use like a stuffed animal as a pterodactyl? What the hell are they going to do? Because it's just like they spent all the money on that opening effect. So
they're going to have to drag out Barney from Barney and Friends. I really think that they, you know, I'm joking, but really not joking. They spent way too much money on an aspect that was not going to be the entire, that was, if that even took 3 minutes, because I don't even think it was, that sequence was that long. It had to be about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So for 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you spent all that. But the things that they're going to be with, like these creatures, they're going to run into some more of these creatures because now they're in the alternate world. We're not going to see another sinkhole happen again. So I'm like, yeah, it was spectacular. Maybe they're like, oh, that will really draw them in. But I have to be able, you could draw me in, but I have to stay. And I stay because of excellent CGI, excellent graphics. I stay because of a story that makes, you know, sense. Not that this doesn't make sense. You know, it can make sense. But I think the budget is too low for what they're trying to make this. When you don't have that budget, you better get Sid and Marty Krofft and make some puppets or something something like that. Don't attempt to do what you don't have the budget for, because it just comes off as a broke person's Jurassic Park. It just comes off as a broke person's Land of the Lost.
You mean Jurassic's Trailer Park?
There you go. Exactly. It is a Jurassic Trailer Park.
All right, so Tachi, are you going to keep watching or are you changing the channel?
If it's on, maybe I'll take a look at it. Or maybe I'll do like you said, I'll cheat and watch like watch the first episode, maybe cheat and watch the end. Although there are some compelling things, I am interested to see what becomes of the character. Like, okay, the son, as you said, was mauled by one of these devil wolves, ancient devil wolves. And so he's right now hanging on by a thread. So I'm kind of interested to see what happens with that. I think there are a lot of ties to these things. I am interested to see what Gavin, the husband, how he gets to that world, because he's like, and I'm going to find him. So he's like, and it's like, da-da-da at the end. So he's going to jump into the sinkhole or something. So I want to see that. But as to watch it on a regular basis, I don't know, because they did not, they started right away. They did not do enough to draw me into the world initially. There was too much backstory that they had to give down the line. Whereas if you had handled that at the beginning and then this happened, you're like, oh, okay, I'm already invested in the characters. But right now, I don't know that I care that much about them, but that's just me. So that's me. I don't know. We'll see. If it's on, I'll watch. What about you, Kevin? When it comes to La Brea, are you going to keep watching or change the channel?
Okay. I think I like this better than you, because I'm actually already care about a couple of characters. The daughter who lost a leg in a car accident, that actress is very good. I'm surprised at how good she is. And the scenes with her mother when she lost her mother into the sinkhole, heartbreaking. The scene when she reunited with her father and believing that her father is insane and that her brother and her mother are dead and trying to snap him back into reality, which she thinks is reality. I thought that was compelling.
That was also a good scene.
We meet this mysterious psychiatrist named Ty, who had the guy with the gun. We learn later he's a psychiatrist. He was about to commit suicide at one point. Mm-hmm. What is going on with him? I'm very interested in what his backstory is. And I honestly feel like they have set it up. They have given her not one, but two potential love interests. So she's got the Navy SEAL / surgeon. And then she has this the psychiatrist who is British and Black. Nothing is cooler than Black British people. I don't know why, but they just are. And so he's a psychiatrist. He has a gun for some mysterious reason. We don't know why he has a gun, and he's got like a cardigan. You gotta love a psychiatrist in a cardigan with a British accent. But he's also suicidal. Why? The only thing that stops him from getting suicide is Eve asking for his help to find the ambulance so she can save her child. And so he gets out of himself to go help her. But he says that you don't understand the kind of pain I'm in. So I'm like, is he in physical pain or is he in emotional? I don't know, but I want to find out what the hell's going on. And there's a cop who's trying to hoard protein bars already. They just been there for 5 seconds and she's already trying to hoard stuff. So I'm curious about what it all means. So what I'm worried about is the odds of this getting a second season after us seeing the pilot. I'm like, if this was, again, if this was on ABC, if this was on Apple TV Plus, or if this was a HBO Max show, it would be 8 to 10 episodes, and they would have spent $1 zillion per episode, and those wolves would have looked damn real, no matter how big they are, and those weird birds would have looked real, too, and that saber-toothed tiger looked like it was straight out of the Flintstones. So
it looked like the producer's son drew it.
Yeah, it did not look good. So you can do those kinds of animals. Obviously, it is easier to create monsters that we've never seen before in CGI because we have no real reference. But when you have something that looks kind of like something that we've seen in our real world, it's a lot harder to make that look real.
I don't really hear that. The Life of Pi. The whole damn movie tiger.
But I was about to, let me finish. What I was going to say is, like, even in Game of Thrones, those dragons, more often than not, looked real, as well as they had these dire wolf things, these giant wolves. that looked like they were straight up real. In fact, I always thought that they was a real wolf that they used CGI just to make look big. It's like, no, it wasn't. None of it was real. When they're petting it, when they're hugging it, when it's looking in their face, none of it's real. And it was like, it looked amazingly real. But the amount of money they spent on each time those wolves were on screen, it cost a fortune, because when they had the final season of Game of Thrones, there's a scene where Jon Snow kind of sees the wolf. He's gonna go somewhere, and he looks at the wolf, and he just looks at it from afar and be like, bye. And like, and people are all like, why is he going to pet him and hug that wolf? Rest is like, why wouldn't you touch him? And there we found out after the fact, it's like, oh, because HBO didn't have any money for him to pet the wolf, because it costs so much more money when they interact with it and actually physically touch it. And so that's why he looked at it from afar, like, I'll miss you, but not enough to like pet you or hug you or anything. And so that clearly they NBC did not have enough money to give you hardcore real wolf vibes. Those wolves look straight like again, somebody got a Sharpie and drew one on the screen.
Well, so, I guess they knew they had to interact with it, so like, we better scale down the resolution.
Yeah, so, but I have to admit, I'm compelled. I'm so scared I'm going to get too into this and be super angry, and you will hear me bitching about this in May, Kevin, that they canceled this show.
You better run like they ran from that sinkhole.
All right. So, yes, I'm going to keep watching this.
Okay.
All right. I can't believe we come to the end of another episode.
That we have.
All right. So, Tachi, how can people listen to our show other than how they're listening right now?
Well, you can check us out on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, WJMSRadio.com. Go to our website, TVChanneling.com, where you can listen to past and current episodes. And while you're there, we would love, on whatever platform you're on, not just the website, but whatever platform you're listening to, make sure that you subscribe. That way you get all of the episodes dropping to you first. You don't even have to think about it. And we would love it if you would leave a wonderful, nice, kind review. Now, say that you vehemently disagree with Kevin and you think that the wolves are drawn just fine. How, Kevin, can they reach you on social to disagree with you?
All right, you can complain about my thoughts on the wolves of La Brea on Facebook. You can complain on Instagram, and you can complain on my favorite platform, Twitter. We are TV channeling everywhere, and we would love to hear from you. So if there is a show you'd like us to review, if there's something going on in pop culture you want to hear our take on, and like Tachi said, you want to complain about one of these reviews, we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with that, we are going to respect your time. Remember, we love you all for listening. Thank you so much. It's because of you that we do this and we even exist. So we're going to let you get back to doing whatever it was you were doing before this and sign off the way we always do. Bye from Tachi.
And goodbye from Kevin. And remember, here on TV Channeling, we watch bad TV so you don't have to.
With those devil wolves. Poorly drawn devil wolves.
Oh, ouch. Oh, NBC is rethinking letting us watch these shows.
No, they need this commentary. I'm sure they agree that, well, they are poorly drawn. They are poorly drawn.
They're like, yeah, you know, we better spend a little bit more money. Maybe raise the budget for the wolves from $5 to $10.
Exactly. Or cut out that whole beginning sequence. How about that? We don't need a sinkhole. Just end up in the land of the lost. We'll accept it.
Goodbye.